Unit 6, Part 1, Language Skills Development. 1. Starter.
B. Listen to the dialogue and choose the best answer for each question you hear.
Hello. Thank you for attending my research interview. Please answer several questions. Do you have any debts?
Yes, a little. Not much.
What kind of debts do you have? Are there student loans or credit card debts?
Yes, I have both student loans and some credit card debts of daily consumption.
Do you think credit card debts influence your life?
Yes, I think so. I feel pressure when debts abound. I have to take some part-time jobs to repay those debts.
In your opinion, do credit cards do more good or more harm to students?
I think they do more harm. Because credit cards result in the student's bad habit of overconsumption or waste of money.
Thank you very much for answering my questions.
You're welcome.
2. Text. Jeesh, it's only $5. Jeesh, it's only $5. These were the words I heard uttered by one friend to another in a store we were shopping in a few weeks back. While I didn't overhear the entire conversation, the two ladies were discussing some type of clothing accessory they were both looking at. Based on what I could tell, one lady was trying to convince the other lady to purchase one as well. The one expressing the concern with the $5 cost was resistant and received the "It's only $5" response in return. This is a textbook example of the financial peer pressure. Let's just play along with this example for a bit and add some, of course fictional, but highly probable additions to the story. We'll even give fictional names to the ladies: Donna, the spender, lady number one above, and Judy, the frugal one, lady number two. After Donna's comment of, "Jeesh, it's only $5, Judy thinks to herself, "You know, she's right, it is only $5. I could absorb $5 in my budget. After all, I haven't bought anything for myself in a while." Then, making those famous last words, she says to herself, "After all, I deserve it." Donna and Judy head to the cashier's line to purchase their $5 clothing accessories. Donna decides to head to the local coffee shop to grab a latte. When Judy politely declines, Donna rolls her eyes and says, "Come on, Judy, you know you want one. They are only $4. Then she completely makes the sale by saying, "Well, if you don't want one, I don't want to get one either." She lines up, shoots, and scores. Judy replies, "Well, I don't want you not to get one, so I'll get one too." Donna and Judy spend the remainder of the day together, shopping, grabbing lunch, doing even more shopping, and then finally grabbing dinner at a restaurant outside the local mall. Donna has a wonderful time, and Judy, while enjoying spending the day with her friend Donna, continues to feel worse and worse as the day progresses. She feels guilty as she knows she is spending money she and her husband haven't budgeted, but she just doesn't want to ruin Donna's day. After getting home, Judy pulls up her copy of You Need a Budget and grudgingly enters the transactions from the day. When she finishes, she is shocked at how much she has spent, over $100. She double-checks the transactions to make sure she hasn't incorrectly entered anything. Nope, everything is right. She then verifies the receipts to make sure nothing has been incorrectly rang up. Everything is correct. She is shocked. The front door opens and her husband walks in. "Hey, honey. Jeesh, what a day at the office. How was your day off with Donna? Did you guys have a great day together?" How is she going to tell him she breaks the budget commitment? And how will he react? She feels so ashamed she has let this happen. They are working so hard on getting control of their finances, and now only a few months later she already blows the budget. Judy looks up at her husband and says, I have something I need to tell you. Tips to avoid financial peer pressure. Here are a few tips you can use to avoid getting into a similar situation as Judy. 1. Set yourself a daily limit. If you are heading out to go shopping with a friend, set yourself a limit. If you didn't budget for it, either don't go or don't bring any money. This includes leaving cash and or your debit credit cards at home. You can't spend the money if you don't go, and if you do go, you can't spend what you don't have. 2. Talk to your friend. Be honest with your friend about your situation, your budget, and how you know they like to spend money, but it's just not something you can do right now. Explain to them how important this is and how you need their support. In the story above, I would have stopped Donna in her tracks right after she said, it's only $5. 3. Surround yourself with like friends. While I certainly don't advocate abandoning your friends, I would suggest you begin hanging out more with people that share your financial views and perspectives. These people will encourage and support you, and you in turn can encourage and support them. My friends do this for me. In fact, you, my readers, actually serve as a constant reminder to stay on track. 4. Budget some fun money. I'm not an advocate of giving up on quality of life just to save a few bucks. My wife and I both have fun money line items in our budget. This is money that is allocated to us to do whatever we wish. I buy a few coffees, lunch, and stuff for my saltwater aquariums with it. She has other things she uses the money on. 5. Avoid places where you will spend money. Instead of going shopping, go to the park, have coffee on your back deck, or visit one of the many free activities in your city. There are many other activities outside of shopping, and they'll cost you far less. New words.
Jeesh.
Over here.
Accessory.
Resistant.
Fictional.
Frugal.
Absorb.
Latte.
Mall.
Ruin.
Grudgingly.
Transaction.
Double check.
Verify.
Advocate.
Perspective.
Allocate.
Aquarium.
Deck. Proper nouns.
Peer pressure.
Donna.
Judy.
Debit cards.
Credit cards.
6. Practice. Listening.
Listen to a conversation at City Supermarket and answer the following questions. Signing the receipt at City Supermarket. Good evening, sir. Welcome to City Supermarket.
Do you accept bank cards?
Certainly, sir. You are welcome to use a bank card.
Very nice.
That'll be $110 in all, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Please enter your PIN code.
After a while.
Sorry, sir. Your signature on the receipt is not the same as that on the back of the card. For the safety of your bank card, would you please show me a valid proof of your identity?
Okay, no problem. Here you are.
Here is your bank card. Please keep it.
Okay, thank you.
By the way, do you need free delivery service?
No, I can put them in my car. Thanks anyway. Part 2. Language in use. 1. Dialogue. Applying for a credit card. A woman wants to apply for a credit card with a bank. She is now at the bank to inquire about credit card application. She is received by a bank clerk. Listen to the dialogue and fill in the blanks. Then read it aloud. Good afternoon, madam. Can I help you?
Yes. I want to have a peony card from your bank, but I don't know what kind of card is best for me.
Well, we have a big Peony card family, including Peony Money Link card, Peony Credit card, PNE International Debit Card, etc.
What is a PNE Money Link Card?
It is a versatile card that links a lot of businesses together.
Versatile? What does that mean?
You may either make deposits and withdrawals at any savings office or make transfers and inquiries at any ATM with the card.
Anything else?
With this card, you may also enjoy services like payroll service and payment for power and gas, etc.
Oh, it's convenient for me.
By the way, it has a matched passbook.
That's just what I wanted. Can you help me with my application?
I'd be glad to.
New words.
Peony.
Versatile.
Withdrawal.
Inquiry.
Payroll.
Passbook.
Proper nouns.
Peony card.
Peony money link card.
Peony credit card.
Peony international debit card.
2. Pair work. Your bank card is not valid. Reference answer. Card in short of money.
Good evening, madam. Welcome to City Supermarket.
Good evening.
The total is 560 RMB. Cash or card?
Card. Here you are.
Thank you. Please enter your PIN code.
Okay.
Sorry, but I'm afraid there is not enough money in the card, and it is not valid now. You may check with the bank. Please keep the card.
Well, I have another bank card. Here it is.
Thank you. Please enter your PIN code. The transaction is completed. Please sign your name on the receipt. Here is your card. Please keep it. Thank you for using the bank card.
Thank you. By the way, do you offer free delivery service?
Yes, we do. You can ask for more information at the information desk over there.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Welcome to our supermarket again. Goodbye.
3. Text. Financial health check. Are you managing your money the right way? Recently, I've begun to write articles on financial help, not just to help you or others, but also to help my own financial health and status. My ultimate goal is not to become rich, but to learn how to manage my money a whole lot better, and hopefully you and others can learn along the way and do the same. I've managed to royally screw up my credit, because I lost my home, not because I could not afford it, but because I refused to keep paying the amount of interest I was paying. You might say, why did you even get the house? I was young, ignorant, and was basically putting too much on my plate, more than I could handle. Though I am truly embarrassed, I would not make the same mistakes again. You live and you learn. Enough about me, and back to the real reason you are here. You want a financial health check because you want to check if you are managing your money properly. Here is something interesting I found over at Money Magazine. I will use MM to represent Money Magazine throughout the article. In order to find out how healthy your financial status is at the moment, you must consider the following 6 things. Housing payment. Here is something I should have considered when I bought my first house back in 2006. According to Money Magazine, your total housing payments should not exceed 28% of your gross income. I wish I would have known that when I first started house hunting back in 2006. If you're in the process of looking for a home right now, I hope you consider this. Emergency savings. I had never considered anything like this before, but now I can see how having such a savings can benefit you once put in place. This is not to be confused with a regular savings, because an emergency savings is just that, in case of an emergency. According to MM, you should keep 3 months' worth of living expenses in a bank savings account. If you have kids or rely on one income, make it 6 months. Once this is put in place, It can help you with any financial strain that an emergency can cause, because now you will have somewhere to turn to for help. Debt. MM states that there's nothing wrong with using loans to buy a home, finance a car, or get an education, but stay out of trouble. Your total debt payments should not exceed 36% of your gross income. Diversification. This deals more with investing, but I really think there is room for financial growth. MM says the stocks can provide good growth, but pose a lot of risk in the short term. Bonds offer more stability. If you are saving for retirement and want a quick idea of what percentage of your portfolio should be in stocks, subtract your age from 110. Life insurance. The following criteria I do invest in, because in the event that something happens to me, I want my family taken care of. I don't mean set for life, but they will have some type of cushion to lean on. MM says that you need enough life insurance to replace at least 5 years of your salary, as much as 10 years if you have several young children or significant debts, but you might not need it at all if you have no dependents. You might think 5 or 10 years is a lot, but when it comes to my family, I think it is well worth it. Retirement savings. As a teacher, I am lucky that they pull TRS, Teacher Retirement System, from me. They will average my 5 highest paid years as far as salary, and I will get a certain percentage of the final average. It will probably be enough to get by, but I won't be rich. MM states that the amount you pump into your retirement savings depends on a lot of things, like how much of your pre-retirement income you expect to draw each year after you quit working, how much your nest egg will continue to grow, and how long you'll live. They state that 65 should be your retirement goal. Take advantage of tax-deferred retirement accounts, and if you get access to a 401k plan at work, contribute the max amount allowed. In conclusion, after reading this, I hope you now know where your financial health stands. I know there are other rules that can go along with these, but I found these to be the most important at the moment. I myself plan to start pumping money into my emergency savings account and lower my total debt payments to at least 36%. Hopefully in the future, with proper planning, I can work my credit back up and purchase another home. This time I will be sure that it does not surpass 28% of my total gross income. I hope I have helped you and others get a better understanding of where your financial health stands. So, how is your financial state at the moment?
New words.
Status.
Royally.
Screw.
Ignorant.
Embarrassed.
Properly.
Exceed.
Gross.
Confuse. Finance.
Diversify.
Invest.
Stock.
Bond.
Stability.
Percentage.
Portfolio.
Subtract.
Criteria.
Cushion.
Significant.
Dependent.
Average.
Pump.
Retirement.
Max.
Surpass.